Welcome to Magic Software Enterprises' 2020 fourth quarter financial result conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A brief question and answer session will follow the formal presentation. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. Magic's quarterly earnings release was issued before the market opened this morning, and it has been posted on the company's website at www.magicsoftware.com. Representing Magic Software today are Magic's CEO, Mr. Guy Bernstein, Magic CFO, Mr. Asaf Bernstein, and Magic VP of Technology and Innovation, Mr. Yuval Lavi. Before we start, I'd like to remind everyone that this conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements. The safe harbor provision provided in the press release issued today also applies to the content of this call. Magic expressly disclaims any obligation to update or revise any of these forward-looking statements, whether because of future events, new information, a change in its views or expectations, or otherwise. Also, during the course of today's call, management will refer to non-GAAP financial measures. A reconciliation schedule showing GAAP versus non-GAAP results has been provided in the press release issued before the market opened this morning. A replay of this call will be available after the call on Magic Software's Investor Relations section on the company's website. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Asaf Bernstein, CFO of Magic Software. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and thank you everyone for joining us today as we report our fourth quarter 2020 financial results. As we said in the past, our business is benefiting from global trends that are driving our growth. This includes, first and foremost, the demand for a wide range of top technologies, methodologies, and services for the SMB enterprise digital transformation divide for services as organizations continue to migrate from legacy systems to modern, flexible, on-premise, or cloud-based solutions, as well as the need for meeting customers' expectations for digital and more personalized experience. On that note, Magic Q4 was an outstanding finish to a strong and challenging year. Despite COVID-19, we crossed for the first time during the fourth quarter the $100 million mark in quarterly revenues, coming in at $105 million, 15% higher than last year. This achievement was further supported by the 33% increase in operating income to a record of $15.3 million. For the full year, revenue increased by 14% to $371 million, and we delivered operating margin of 14.2% compared to $326 million in revenues and 13.5% operating margin in 2019. These record results were the outcome of our focus on strategic execution. Overall, during 2020, we signed over 200 new logos across all our business lines and territories, one-third related to our software solution and the remaining to our professional services. On the M&A front, Magic has demonstrated in the past a solid track record of acquisitions that have accelerated top-line and bottom-line growth. We have proven our ability to successfully integrate acquisitions and improve the operational performance of the combined entities. Through our acquisition strategy, we have expanded the offerings for our customers and increased our global footprint. During the second half of 2020, we completed the acquisitions of Stockel Information System, Inc. and UpToNet, Inc., both U.S.-based companies which specialize in IT staffing and recruiting to expand our presence in the U.S. market and diversify our client portfolio. Both Stockel and UpToNet teams that consist of 230 IT consultants and their customer base that includes blue-chip companies like Bayer, Norfolk Southern, and Edward Jones Investments contribute to our efforts to fulfill our commitment to our clients to serve as a one-stop shop for a full set of solutions and continue our expansion. We continue with our effort to find potential companies that fit our strategy and our valuation range. We continue looking for small to mid-sized companies with revenues in the range of $10 to $50 million, which will follow our strategy, geographic expansion, complementary solutions, and customer base. Turning now to our fourth quarter and annual business performance, I will now review our non-GAAP results, followed by comments on the balance sheet, cash flow, and end with our outlook for 2021. Our fourth quarter revenues totaled $105 million compared to $91 million for the fourth quarter last year and $95 million in the previous quarter, reflecting 15% and 10% growth respectively. Our fourth quarter revenues were mainly fueled by increased demand for our professional services in North America and in Israel, and especially in the healthcare and the defense sector. Looking at the geographical breakdown of our revenues during the fourth quarter, North America accounted for 49% of total revenues, Israel 39%, Europe 7%, and APAC and the rest of the world accounted for 5% of our annual revenues. Most of our growth in 2020 in absolute number was traditionally from North America and Israel, which continue to be our strongest territories. North America accounted for 46% of our growth for the 12 months, while Israel accounted for 52% of our growth, and on a quarterly basis, North America accounted for 61% of our growth in the fourth quarter compared to the respective period last year. And Israel accounted for 38% of our growth. Our revenues in North America for the 12-month period grew 13% year-over-year, and our revenues in Israel for the 12-month period grew 16% year-over-year on a constant currency basis. Turning now to profitability, our non-GAAP gross profit for the fourth quarter of 2020 was $32.5 million, up approximately 11% compared to $29.4 million in the fourth quarter of last year. Our non-GAAP gross margin for the fourth quarter of 2020 decreased from 32.3% in the fourth quarter of last year to 31.1%. Our non-GAAP gross margin for the 12-month period of 2020 decreased to 31.3% compared to 33.1% in the same period of last year. The decrease in our gross margin is mainly attributable to the change of our revenue mix related to our software solutions versus our professional services. The breakdown of our revenue mix for the 12-month period of 2020 was approximately 22% related to our software solutions and 78% related to our professional services, compared to 26% related to our software and 74% related to our professional services in 2019 as a whole. The increase in the percentage of our professional services is due to the continued strong demand for our professional experts driving our professional service revenue stream and the addition of Stockel and UpToNet to our professional services business segment. The breakdown of our gross profit mix for the 12-month period of 2020 was approximately 47% related to our software solution and 53% related to our professional services, compared to 50% related to our software and 50% related to our professional services in 2019 as a whole. Moving to operational costs, R&D expenses on a non-GAAP basis in the fourth quarter of 2020 totaled $3.1 million compared to $2.9 million in the same quarter of last year and $3.1 million in the previous quarter. Our non-GAAP operating income for the fourth quarter increased 34% to $15 million compared to $11 million in the same period last year. This reflects an operating margin of 14.6% for this quarter compared to 12.5% in the fourth quarter of 2019 and 14.9% in the third quarter of 2020. Our non-GAAP operating income for the year increased 20% to $53 million compared to $44 million in the same period last year. This reflects an operating margin of 14.2% for the year compared to 13.5% for 2019. The growth in our operating income reflects 70% organic growth and 30% from the M&As. Our non-GAAP tax expenses this quarter totaled $2 million compared to a tax expense of $2.9 million in the fourth quarter of 2019. Our effective tax rate for the 12-month period of 2020 and end of 2019 was 17% and 19% respectively. The decrease in our effective tax rate in 2020 resulted mainly from a $1.2 million reversal of tax provision following completion of a tax assessment conducted in the regular course of our business. We expect our effective tax rate in 2021 to be in the range of 19 to 20%. Our non-GAAP net income for the fourth quarter increased 63% to $10.3 million or 21 cents per fully diluted share compared to $6.3 million or 13 cents per fully diluted share in the same period last year. Our non-GAAP net income for the year increased 32% to $37.3 million, or 76 cents per fully diluted share, compared to $28.2 million, or 58 cents per fully diluted share in 2019. Turning now to the balance sheet, as of December 31, 2020, cash and cash equivalents, short and long-term bank deposits and marketable securities amounted to approximately $92 million, an increase of $7 million from the previous quarter. Our total financial debt as of December 31, 2020, amounted to $25 million compared to $29 million in the previous quarter. From a cash flow perspective, we generated $11 million from operating activities in the fourth quarter and $52.3 million during the 12-month period of 2020. I would like to turn now to our guidance for 2021. In 2021, we anticipate revenue in the range of between $420 million to $430 million, reflecting annual growth of 13 to 16%. This reflects 9 to 12% organic growth with the contribution of the M&As conducted during 2020, adding additional 4%. In our press release issued today, we announced that Magic Software Enterprise Board of Directors has declared a semi-annual cash dividend in the amount of 21 cents per share and in the aggregate amount of approximately $10.2 million for the second half of 2020. Together with the dividend distributed for the first half of 2020, these payments reflect approximately 75% of our net income and 50% of our non-GAAP net income for the 12-month period of 2020. In summary, this was a strong, challenging, and overall exceptional year of execution on many fronts, and we want to congratulate the Magic Global team for their outstanding work in 2020, especially during these uncertain times introduced by the COVID-19 global pandemic, demonstrating the rapid and professional adaptation to the challenges of COVID-19. The results we delivered show that our strategy is working and that by focusing on our investments to deliver profitable growth, we can significantly enhance shareholders' value. With thousands of customers, approximately 3,000 talented employees spread globally, and our broad portfolio of solutions supported by proprietary software, we have all the tools in place to help our clients reach major milestones in their digital transformation projects and for continued growth. With that, I will now turn the call over to the operator for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the headset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question is from Maggie Nolan of William Blair. Please go ahead.
Hi, Asaf. This is Ted Stark-King on for Maggie. Thanks for taking our questions. So I guess, first of all, strong revenue performance in the fourth quarter. Can you maybe dig into where your outperformance in the fourth quarter came from relative to your expectations last quarter?
I think that we saw very strong demand from the healthcare, defense, and banking sectors. This is something that worked for us for the entire year, but in Q4, especially the defense and the healthcare sector contribute to significantly or mainly to the growth. I can tell you, for example, that during the fourth quarter, we recruited out of 200 people that grew organically in the company, 100 people were recruited during the fourth quarter, so you don't even see the entire impact on our revenues for the year for the healthcare sector. So this was the defense and the healthcare were the main contributors to the fourth quarter improvement.
Thanks. That's very helpful. In terms of your expectations for the revenue mix for 2021, what are your expectations for the mix between software and services? And then how does that compare to kind of your medium-term expectations?
I think that as we can see, the main contribution of the technology does not come from the change in revenues versus what we have on the professional services, because the professional services is significantly higher than the sale of technology. If we sell today around our technology segment, around $90 million. The remaining through the $370 million that we report comes from the professional service. So the main impact of our technology comes on the bottom line. In that aspect, you know, if we, and this is something that is very difficult to say because I can't say that we won't continue do acquisition in the professional service segment. We have some leads. All of them basically are on the software professional, on the professional service side of the business. So on the mixture between software and services, I believe that we will continue to see the software, you know, percentage of our business declining on another 1 or 2% for next year versus the additional revenues that we gain on the professional service side of the business. On the other hand, we managed to consistently generate something around 65 to 67% gross profit on our technology. So even a small, you know, even a small improvement on the software side of the business contributes significantly to the bottom line.
Very, very helpful. Thank you. Can you share some of your insights into kind of the headcount additions? It sounded like you mentioned earlier that the fourth quarter, you had a strong recruiting quarter. Can you talk about for 2021, kind of your expectations for headcount additions, utilization, and pricing?
Let's summarize first 2020. In 2020, we grew around 400 people in our headcount. Half of it came from the two acquisitions that I mentioned of Stockel and UpToNet, 230 IT specialists. Another 200 came from organic recruitment net. Organic growth of our headcount. If we expect 9 to 11% organic growth next year, you know, this is this since we are working on the professional service side mostly, then you know it would be supported by an increase in our headcount.
Okay, thanks. And then last question from me: can you talk about the margin expectations for 2021 and kind of the cadence of that margin throughout the year? Thank you.
I'll touch it in two aspects. One aspect, I think that over the even if I look over the last few years, we managed to maintain our gross margins on the side of the technology and on the side of the and on the side of the professional services. We are at around 22-23% gross profit on the gross margin on the professional side, and we are around, as I said, 65 or 67% on the technology side, and this is something that we managed to keep over the years. It's become very challenging. I can tell you that, for example, in 2020, in opposed to many other, perhaps many other companies, we tried not to reduce salaries and even, you know, where we needed to increase salaries for our IT specialists because we knew that, you know, this is a period that, a short period that we need to overcome and we want to maintain all of our workforce for the second half of what was 2020 and, of course, for 2021, and we believe that we will see the fruits for that. It becomes, on the other hand, very difficult to roll over increase that we have in salaries to the clients, as you know, some of them are also facing market difficulties, and you know, this COVID thing is not over yet. So altogether, I believe that for the next year, we will still manage to continue and maintain the level of margins that that we see today, and I even expect an improvement on our operating margin from 2021, from 2020 to 2021, as we did in 2020 versus 2019. So another 0.5%.
All right, very good. Thanks for taking my questions.
The next question is from Tavy Rosner of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Asaf, you mentioned that during 2020 you signed about 200 new logos. Were there particular verticals that were interested in your product? I remember last quarter you mentioned healthcare. If you were to break it down, the 200 in different categories, what would there be?
We are working with again with SMBs. I think I can say that it doesn't necessarily change from the percentage that we normally see in Magic as a whole. So we maintain around 20% of our business from the finance sector, or something the same in the same range in the defense sector, around 15% in the healthcare sector. So you know, I believe that we pretty much go to the same to the same allocation of the of these verticals.
Right, that's helpful. And then when you look at, you just mentioned margins in the previous questions. Do you take into account the resumption of your travel expenses, you know, towards the second half of the year, or is that already part of your operating assumptions?
I think that altogether the COVID impact on our cost was not that significant. Something around 1.5 million in, let's say, in cost cutting. I put aside the salaries, which were already, you know, increased and already are reflected in our numbers. So I don't think this has a significant impact over our expectations for next year. You know, we are generating $53 million in our in operating profit. We are growing normally the same in the same range in our revenues and in our bottom line. Even we have some exponential growth in the or better growth in the operating in the operating profit. So I don't think that this would have a significant impact on our bottom line, even, you know, even if we, it will increase back in the second half of 2021.
Great. That's helpful. Thank you very much. And congrats on the solid numbers.
The next question is from Kevin Dede of H.C. Wainwright. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks very much for taking my call. I'm curious about a couple things, and maybe we could take a step back and sort of look at overall demand by geography. Obviously, strong in Israel and U.S., as you said, with healthcare, defense, your typical verticals. But I'm wondering if we could look at a little bit at Europe and maybe some of the others, APAC. Just give us a sense on what you're seeing there and how much there it might be a little different.
Again, Europe, you know, today is around 7% of our revenues. There wasn't a significant change, or even if there is a significant change, you know, it doesn't have a significant impact on our business. We seem to, you know, to once you have a significant customer base, you know, in this region, in the U.S. and in Israel, most, as you can see for the last years, or for many years back, most of our growth comes from our existing community. Something around 85% of our revenues, you know, are generated from continued projects, new projects that we manage to get from our existing customers. So this is why, you know, once we have you know, established in the U.S. and in Israel, this is the main growth engines that we produce today. Europe is pretty small, so I think they were like a bit flat on the revenues this year.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks, Asafi. You mentioned, you know, I guess the focus with acquisitions in building customers and technology, and I noticed that obviously, right, you spoke to two acquisitions. They seem to be on the professional services side. If we were, you know, sort of looking on the grand scheme, maybe the five-year plan, is the company's focus really to build out more professional services and become sort of less reliant on developing new software? How would you characterize the overall strategy?
Hi, Kevin. You know, most of our acquisitions or most of the opportunities are coming from within the business. We don't usually get opportunities from investment banking firms. And therefore, most of the opportunities are kind of related to our business. Therefore, you know, they are in nature more conservative and more safe to go. On one hand. On the other hand, I must say that the prices are picking up, so we get to see less and less attractive deals on the software side rather than on the professional services side. We need to probably invest more in it and see how to go through this one and get some more software businesses as well.
Okay. So can we talk a little bit about that too, Guy, and the powwow integration? I know Yuval's on the call. Maybe, if I remember correctly, you were hoping to have that pretty well integrated through the first half of this year. And I was wondering if you could touch on that and maybe some of the customer response that you're getting.
Yeah, we are running basically on schedule. We are going to release our release candidate on May. And we are already sharing this information with customers around the world, and there is excitement. Again, it's they haven't had the chance to play with it, and they only see it obviously on some kind of a small demo online. But we see the fire is picking up around customers that are looking to actually move their legacy system all the way down to the web and to the mobile. I have tomorrow a meeting with the insurance company here in Israel regarding taking their application into a mobile deployment, and everything is around that, and we're getting a big technology push by the combination of combining Power platform into our studio. Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you think that sort of changes the way people look at Magic Software? I mean, given now that it's still, right, it's more hands-on consulting, do you think it opens more business development opportunities for you, having that type of functionality built in?
I believe it does. Again, what will be the effect this year or next year? It's hard to say. You know, we have the good the benefits of being a 35 years old technology company that are still around, live and kicking, and with customers that are having their code base since 25 years ago. Okay, so this is strength. On the other hand, we have conservative customers that it's hard for them to actually jump into new technologies and new frontiers. So we're doing it a bit in a careful way. We cannot just run forward and forget our existing customer because this is our biggest strength, I think. On the other hand, we need to push our customer to adopt new technology, which sometimes, you know, some of them are excited about it, and some of them it's hard for them to move to new technologies in a way.
Right. Understand. You know, if it works, don't change it.
Yeah.
The thing that's really interesting, Yuval, is that it seems to me that you're flourishing. I think you guys are doing what seems to me to be a great job, right? I mean, it was really, as Asaf made the point, it's a really difficult operating environment over the past 12 months. And your numbers seem to show that it had basically not much of a problem compared to a lot of other companies. So, I guess I'm wondering if you think the fact that you're doing well might change the perception of some of the larger companies that, you know, they might be concerned that Magic Software is up and coming. No, granted, you've been there a long time, but, you know, now you're on a $400 million run rate. You're not so small, right? Over the past 7 years, as Asaf knows, I've been following you. It's been a big change.
Yeah, but we are still rather small, especially when you talk about the U.S. market. I think the big difference is that although a big portion of our numbers is coming from the professional services side, I doubt that I probably assure that most of our customers do not see us as a professional services shop, on one hand. On the other hand, I think the big barrier that we faced during the years was the fact that the big names are used to work with the big SIs. And we were targeting all the time mostly the SME market. So we had to be seen. Yes, I think it's an opportunity, but, you know, history showed that, you know, we can fight better in places that, you know, there is a limit of either money or time.
Right. So, Guy, do you think you'll be able to talk a little bit more about how you're going to market, you know, the new software capabilities, maybe on the March quarter call? Or do you think it might not be until the June quarter call that you'll talk about how?
You know, we usually start with our base community. After we get some feedback from them, we start to expand to new clients. So we need to see that, after, you know, if there is a good exception by them, then we will be able to talk about it.
Okay. But as it is, you don't really see that you're going to change the way you go to market.
We're trying to kind of go to the, let's say, tier. I would call them probably tier three, tier two. But we're talking about long sales cycles, and until now, we are doing way better with the SME market.
Understood. So it's still a majority on the technology side. It's still, the focus is still integration, right? I mean, obviously,
yes.
You've all talked about pushing more to the cloud and to mobile, which is something you guys have been working on for years.
Yeah.
But with a low-code solution, it just seems to me that it would facilitate that for a lot of companies. And is there going to be a scale issue? I mean, if you're able to push up to address larger customers, would that strap resources and personnel that maybe you'd have to change given – you know, a bigger deal or longer sales cycle?
I don't think so. I think we can manage it. You know, every now and then we do face like a big customer that we need to serve, and until now it was not a problem. Of course, if it will be like a phenomena and, you know, suddenly we'll have like tens of customers, like blue chip names, we'll have to reorganize and but it's a good problem.
Yeah, okay. Do you think there's going to be a change in, given the change in administration here in the U.S., do you think there's going to be a change in emphasis on defense work or maybe collaboration between Israel and the United States?
A good question. You know, right now, I must say that I'm more concerned about what's going on in the States than what's going on here with the election.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you, gentlemen. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Congratulations on a really great quarter and a really good year, considering the circumstances.
Thanks.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Bernstein, would you like to make your concluding statement?
So thank you all for joining our call this quarter, and we sure hope to bring you some more good news in the next one. Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes the Magic Software Enterprises fourth quarter and 2020 result conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.